Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Hey guys, I know we're all working so hard to stay fit and healthy at home. So check out my app. I have free daily 7-minute workouts. Download the app. It's Jillian Michaels Fitness app. Download it. Do the 7-minute workouts. You don't need any equipment. There's total body workouts, ab workouts, leg workouts. You get a new one every single day. And if you want more, obviously, there's a heck of a lot more in the app. There's over 1,000 different exercises. All of my DVD workouts are in the app. I can customize a workout for you in the app. There's freaking yoga, kickboxing, HIIT training, outdoor runs, bodyweight training, free weights. There are thousands of recipes, no matter what your diet preferences are. But at the very least, please do the 7-minute workouts for free. Hello, Cindy.
Well, hello there, Jillian.
Why don't you sound excited to talk to me today?
Because we already said hello, and I never was a very good actress, which is why I...
Right. Yeah, you're always
I
the
left
music
that
person.
That's field,
fine.
Yes.
That's all right. It's just a lack of enthusiasm. I'm going to say hello to the... Hello, audience.
Huh? Hello.
Yeah, hello.
Hi, everyone.
All right. First of all, I had a thought. This is totally unrelated. Have you noticed that Joe Rogan can jump all over the place? Like, he's got this guy Eric Von Daniken on there from, like, ancient aliens and shit. And then it's like... Then he'll talk about eating, like, donkey eyeballs and how he did it for a month. Like, and it's quite fascinating. How, I mean, do you think we should try just once a week having a random segment?
Isn't that what segment one is?
No, segment one is like, and I have a segment one because I know you don't believe me. Segment one is like, this is what's going on in my life. This is my life lesson.
And here's the takeaway.
Yeah, it's fear and anger and evolution and all that boundaries, all that stuff. And then it's like, you know, fitness and health. Fitness, health, and fitness.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Is it way too out of our wheelhouse? Should we try it?
For like to ramble?
I mean, we could get like guests that aren't, like, he's got all kinds of cool people on there.
Well, yeah.
Like Michio Kaku, who's like a cosmologist studying string theory, trying to understand the mind of God.
Let's guest out of our wheelhouse and see what happens.
Okay. I just wanted
not
to
today.
We're going. No, because we're not
very
ready for
wheelhousey.
That, yeah. No, we're super in the. Yeah. But I think we're going to try. We're going to get a little experimental this month, this coming month. All right. I have something like. Here's another life lesson, though. See, it's, this is where it's like, oh, Jill, how interesting can your life be? Not very. Not in quarantine in particular. So All right. We talked about, there is a lesson here, Cindy. Did I mention, I think I did, that I had a tear in my infraspinatus, right in my shoulder?
Yes.
So during quarantine, thank you, Zeus Kalite, fellow fitness professional, was doing those one-handed push-ups and putting on like her shirt and all that stuff in a push-up, right?
Oh, right.
Or yeah, not a push-up, a handstand. I'm sorry, a handstand. Yeah. So I got challenged by that punk-ass trainer, and I was like, oh, well, I won't be called out. So 12 years ago, I fell off a horse, smashed the crap out of my shoulder, and the orthopedic surgeon was, I've talked about this, basically was like, look, it's going to be 6 months of recovery, and who knows if you'll be anybody better than you are now with the surgery. So anyway, in quarantine, I'm like, I'm going to do a two-minute handstand, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and I somehow, like, managed to kind of re-aggravate my shoulder, right? So I go to Dr. Van Hurley for my yearly checkup, and she's kind of like, my doctor is this, like, she overlooks all your health. So she'll send you to the eye doctor, the ear doctor, this doc. You know, so every year it's like, all right, what's going on? We ran all your blood work, and as I said, I'm in perfect health. But I said, my shoulder's bothering me. So she's like, okay, I'm going to send you to my specialist because I haven't been in 12 years. The injury happened in 2008, right? And so I wondered if there have been developments in science, like a hip replacement now versus 12 years ago is night and day. And a couple of my friends were like, oh, you should try PRP, which is basically a procedure where they take out your blood, like spin it in this centrifuge, and supposedly it's like this magic elixir when they re-inject it. So she's like, yeah, let's go send you to a shoulder specialist, an orthopedic guy. So we do a new MRI on my shoulder. Turns out I have 3 tears in my shoulder. 3 tears. And he's like, oh, you dislocated your shoulder. And I was like, no, I didn't. He's like, you did. So I guess whenever I fell off that horse, I did dislocate my shoulder. With that said, here's the point I'm making. All of a sudden in my head, I'm like, oh my God, I have 3 tears in my shoulder. You know what? I'm like, I'm injured. And I have been babying my shoulder.
Wow, I bet.
But the thing is, my shoulder's no different than it was before the MRI.
Well,
and go ahead.
No, that just, when a little kid falls off a bike, if they've skinned their knee and there's blood, then they start crying.
Right.
So, right, it's the same thing.
Right. So now I'm like, oh, you know, and I'm like, oh, I'll hold my shoulder. I'm like, oh, my shoulder hurts. And I'm like, chill. And here's the thing. It bothered me before. I was like kind of annoying. And I was particularly annoyed because I was unable to do push-ups, which I've always been like the push-up queen. Like, I can do them. But like, I find that I've found a way to do them where 25% of the resistance is on my left arm and 75% is on the right. I'm like, all right, this is just. So to make a long story short, though, now that this has gotten in my head. And by the way, before I went to this guy, I was like, I had my handstand against the wall to about 90 seconds. And the only thing that was making me give out on the handstand was the blood to my head, not my shoulder.
Not your shoulder.
No. And I got my plank back to a 5-minute plank. And I was like, the only thing that was bothering me was the shoulder. So sometimes I would even lift up my left arm and just go into like a one-handed plank on my right side. But now I'm like, oh, my shoulders hurt. Wow. And the reason I bring this up is, even though I know this so well and I've talked to people about this, they'll often say things to me like, well, I need to work out for somebody who's older. Or I need to work out for, you know, what do I do when I'm, what if I'm not, you know, what if I'm 50? What if I'm in menopause? What if this? What if that? What if this? We take aspects of our identity and we manifest them. So what I mean by that is, like, you might be 55, right? Mm-hmm. You might be like, well, I'm 55. And then you inherently are like, I'm 55. I can't jump rope. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Or I'm 55. I can't do that anymore. Well, do you actually have something that's telling you you can't do that anymore? Because then the minute you start behaving this way, you are going to create a body that isn't jumping rope, that isn't jogging, that isn't lifting weights, that isn't doing all these things. And then that body will start to become, that's why what you believe, you end up manifesting, because it affects your actions.
Yeah,
it's not magic. So now I'm like, oh, my shoulder. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, you're going to create I'm going to lose all the strength I built in my shoulder
Because I'm like so precious now, because I'm like, I'm like three tears on my shoulder. And and I'm not saying I don't need to be smart about my shoulder. I do. But my point is, I've built up a lot of strength around the injuries and a lot of imbalances, which is something else I kind of wanted to talk about later on the show, is corrective exercise and what that means. Because then it's like, well, you know, your trapezius muscle gets really tight, which is that the muscle between your shoulder and your ear, right? The big dudes get those big hulking traps. So it's like connects, like where your neck ends and your shoulder begins, right?
They get like that triangle.
Yes, exactly. So like that gets tight and it kind of pulls my neck a little bit. But my point is that you've got to be really careful about falling into these buckets of like, well, I'm menopausal, I can't lose weight. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm, you know, I'm older, I can't do this activity. Well, and we've touched on it, but my point is just, I see myself doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, oh my God, chill.
Well, I think,
stop it.
I would think like if somebody injures themselves at, like, I never injured myself 10 years ago, I injured myself now, then we use that as, oh, that it must be my age.
Right.
And you're saying it's, you injured yourself.
Oh my God, 12
years ago.
And the reason I haven't had surgery on it is because I actually worked out all the time and took care of it right up until I made a stupid mistake in quarantine and pushed way too hard. And I had a shoulder injury. I mean, I've always known that I was a little weaker on the left side because of that one tear that I knew about. But even if you don't have an injury, even if you're like, well, I'm 55. I see so many comments on my Instagram and it's like, I can't do that. I'm X. I'm Y. That have nothing to do with the actual exercise. I'm 55. Mm. I'm in menopause. Who knows, right? Just.
Well, after surgery, my first thing to my doctor was when. When can I start working out? When are my abs healed enough and all that? And I found the doctors were much more gung-ho on, you're good now. And I was still tender. And I was still, and, you know, sometimes if it is a surgical thing, it's. The pain of muscle recovery feels very similar to the pain of the surgical recovery, and you're related, and your body just says, I can't do that.
Right.
But as long as you're aware of it, it makes it go away a lot faster.
The fear. Well, because the way to heal these things and to stay fit and to stay strong is to engage in the activities. Mm-hmm. Again, provided if you have an injury, your doctor's giving you permission. But when you automatically are like, I fall into a category where I'm just not able to do that because I just had a baby or I just this or I just that or I just that. You know, like I was talking to somebody and she's like, well, I have this diastasis recti. And I was like, okay, when did you have the baby? 6 years ago. And because she has a diastasis, which is a separation of the abdominal muscles, which is extremely, extremely, extremely common. Then she was like, well, I can't do it because I have a diastasis. And then it never healed because she never started conditioning. You know, it's like, well, I can't. And now I'm like, okay. So I'm trying to kind of help gradually rehabilitate that, which again brings me back to corrective exercise, which we'll get into later in the show. But the point is, you know, your doctor clears you for exercise and then you engage in certain pelvic floor exercises and core exercises that are safe that help you rehabilitate that diastasis. I don't want to say injury, but it's just, you got to be real careful with how you think, because the minute you're like, I can't do it because you better have a doctor, like a doctor better tell you that. It better not be like, I can't do that because I'm 50, or I can't do that because I had a baby, or I can't do that because I'm weak, or I can't do that because I never could, or I can't do that because I'm in menopause, or who knows. But it's, you know, if it stops you from engaging in the behavior, it's the behavior that's going to make you fit. If I stop using my shoulder, then I'm going to have a very weak, screwed up shoulder.
Yeah.
So that's all I'm saying, is just be real. Don't constantly, what workouts do you have for old people? I'm like, no, doesn't work that way. Not how it works. There is no old. There's beginner, intermediate, advanced.
Yeah,
old is not a fitness condition. No. See, it would have been much more interesting if we had Michio Kaku talking about aliens. All right, you guys have heard me talk about Brooklinen before. They're the home of the internet's favorite sheets. But their towels? Absolutely amazing. They give your daily routine a little something extra. And they come in all sizes, from washcloth to bath sheet. They're 100% Turkish cotton, so they're not only soft, but they're absorbent too. Plus, I love that I could choose from three different types of towel, from super plush to ultra light. I went midway with the classic, and it's the perfect size and weight for me. It's like I'm at a spa. Check them out. Brooklinen is the perfect place to find all the comforts for home, including ultra-soft towels. They're so confident in their product that everything comes with a lifetime warranty. Use promo code Jillian for 10% off your first order at brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo code Jillian. Brooklinen, everything you need to live your most comfortable life. Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian. So I was yapping about corrective exercise. And you might be thinking, like, what are you talking about? What is that? Okay, here's a perfect example. I don't know if you saw this Instagram story. I was with a friend of mine who is a power lifter. And she's like an extreme athlete. I mean, fitness is this woman's life. And as much as you would think it's mine, health is my life. Fitness is something I do to stay healthy, but I'm not a tremendous athlete. You know, I'm really, my flexibility sucks, always has sucked. My endurance is poor, even though it's gotten far better in quarantine. And there are certain things I'm good at that I, you know, like I can do anything crazy three or four times. I have a lot of fast twitch muscle fiber. I have a lot of powerful muscle fiber. So power is speed and strength, right? So I can do the one arm pull up twice for Instagram and be like, ta-da, you know, I'm really good at that. But it's like, okay, Jill, run 5 miles. I'd be like, oh, hell no. I get the stitch. No, I'm a terrible swimmer. I can barely touch my toes. I just, all that stuff. So we're doing this thing where we check mobility, and mobility is flexibility and strength. So I have strength, but I don't have flexibility. So my mobility is not great. And you basically face the wall. You put your toes a couple inches away from the wall and you squat down. Now, of course, by doing this, it doesn't allow you to come up on the balls of your feet to engage in incorrect form by, you know, leaning forward so you counterbalance yourself, which is bad. You want to keep the chest up. You want to keep the spine straight, right? I literally got, I couldn't get to parallel. I literally could not. I did not have the mobility. My calves and my ankles are so, so tight. And to be dead honest, I've been jumping a lot of rope, so it hasn't gotten any better. Now, you think, right? You normally think to yourself, well, I'm going to balance the body. So that means I'm going to do strength, and I'm going to do strength evenly, and I'm going to do strength equally. But a lot of times the body is inherently imbalanced by the way we live every single day, right? So like the way you're walking, or, like watch somebody go upstairs. Yeah. Have you ever watched someone? Usually they'll go up on the balls of their feet and their butt sticks out and they're slightly leaning forward, whereas you actually want to be landing on your full foot with your butt underneath you. Like if you watch someone walk, so like for example, somebody might have a pelvic tilt, right? So instead of their spine being straight and their butt being underneath them, their butt kind of flips out and they get that arch in their low back. And what you really want to be doing is having your butt tucked and your tailbone engaged. Your butt should be underneath you while you're walking. People step on the wrong part of their foot. I mean, all kinds of imbalances. And these imbalances over the years start causing different kinds of health conditions. Like, have you ever seen somebody who, you know, we spend so much time looking down at our phone. Oh my God, oh, so God. Bad. And the shoulders, I have this really bad. The shoulders rotate forward, right?
I see it on a guy who walks outside to smoke 10 times a day.
Oh my God.
And he's, Lori was even commenting just like the curve from his back to his head down to his phone.
Yes. Oh. And that will cause all kinds of issues over the years. So this does sort of go back to, well, I'm old. No. Right? You've biomechanically walked yourself into or lived yourself into these chronic conditions that manifest over time. So like Deshanna's bow-legged, as much as that pisses her off. I mean, when I say bow-legged, I mean homie is bow-legged. And I constantly, I'm like, baby, because she loves to run. She's a runner. She's always been an endurance athlete. And I'm like, baby, I don't, you're running like with your, you know, you have to understand your knee cap is like pulled all the way to the outside of your leg, which ends up creating tightness on both sides of the leg. So, and now of course she's starting to feel pain in a certain part of her leg. And we think to ourselves, we're going to train everything equally, right? But what's happening is that generally, so let's use my calves, for example. So my calves are so tight that they end up pulling my tibs, right? The front of my shins, because my calves are so tight. So now my tibs are tight because they're overstretched and they're actually weak. So when we think about, all right, what would a corrective exercise be? In reality, I need to massage my calves, foam roll them, warm them up, stretch them out, increase my mobility, and then I need to engage the opposing muscle group to build strength in my tibs to help balance my body back out. So we never think of fitness like that, right? We're always thinking of fitness as what's going to work my abs, what's gonna make me thinner, what's going to make my butt higher. But we're not actually thinking about fitness as what's going to make me more functional.
Wow.
And I mean, look, I create programs like, hey, this is a total body workout. This is going to burn a ton of calories. All right, you know, we're going to work every muscle in the body, because you're not coming to a physical therapist's office with an injury. And I can't see you to even begin to go to a physical therapist and say, okay, you know, I see X, I see Y, I see Z. What stretches should I have them doing? How much corrective exercise? And corrective exercise is boring. It's these very small movements and exercises. Like, nobody's going to want to sit there and strengthen the front of their shins, right? You want to be skinny. That's what we want. Skinny, 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 skinny. You know, you don't, they're like, I don't want to sit in front of the TV with a band and pull my toes towards my face. Like, how many calories? I'm not burning any calories. Is my butt bigger? No, I don't want to do it. So, you know, we don't pay any attention to this, but over time, this is how all of this pain starts. It's not age. It's the fact that you are repetitively working in a way that is creating stress and imbalance and pulling your body out of alignment. So again, like, we look at my shoulder. Well, because now I have these injuries in my shoulder, my traps become tight and it pulls on my neck. So it's possible I might have a slightly bulging disc in my cervical spine. Okay, well, it's not because I'm old. It's because I haven't been opening up my scalenes, which are these muscles in the front of my neck. I haven't been. Do you think I've ever gone to a massage therapist and said, please massage my armpits and my chest? No.
Ooh, I would hate that.
But you need to do it. Have you ever done it? It hurts so effing bad. But instead you're like, my neck hurts. Without understanding why the back of your neck or your traps or you're getting these headaches, because the front of your neck, your scalenes are so tight from looking down at your phone over, over, over. And then you need to be like, all right, what's the issue? So now when I work on my computer, it's elevated so it's at eye level, right? Like, try not to look at your phone. And when you do, try to hold it in front of your face. Like, so you're not doing these things over and over and over. So my whole point of this is we spend so much time trying to lose weight and be fit and look good. But in reality, I would love for everybody out there to kind of think about, where do you feel true tightness or pain? Is it your hips? Is it, you know, do you not have good mobility in your calves and your ankles? Is it your neck is always bothering you? Like, what is it? And quite honestly, if you have the means, I would go see, because a chiropractor can adjust you, but you're just going to go right back into that body position. They can move the bones, but the muscles are just going to pull you right back to where you've been. In other words, you've got to open up. So, like for me, I've got to open up those damn calves and strengthen the tibs to counterbalance the tightness of the calves. I got to pull the body back into alignment. Yeah. So you know what I was actually thinking about doing, and I have not done it, and it wouldn't happen until next year, so nobody get excited because I have so much crap to do on the app first. But I was thinking about adding a corrective exercise specialist who could say, like, these are the five most common things, right? Like the neck, the calves, the hips, and create programs for people that they can do. So anyway, I know we have a guest coming on, but I just want you guys to think about it. And at the very least, do me a favor and Google, like, corrective exercises for tight calves. Because this is, by the way, why you would get shin splints when you're running or working out for the first time. Because your tibs are weak and your calves are tight. See, we can prevent these injuries by balancing you out. So I want you to think about that.
We will do this.
Yes. Yes, queen. One of my pet peeves is when something doesn't fit me right. You know, like when a sleeve is too tight or a sock slips down because it's too loose. Well, Features make socks that are engineered to fit. No slipping, no bunching, no friction. That means no blisters. Features are anatomically designed to conform to each of your feet so you get a custom-like fit. I love the different levels of cushion I get, from the ultra light to the max, because sometimes I want a different amount of support when I'm doing different workouts. Bottom line, team, these socks are the bomb. See why Features has quickly become the number one running sock in America. For listeners of the Jillian Michaels Show, you can receive $10 off your first pair of Features by going to features.com and using my code Jillian. That's $10 off your first pair when you go to FEETURES.com and enter the promo code Jillian at checkout. Again, that's features.com. Use my code Jillian to get $10 off your first pair of Features. Okay, who's tired of fasting or cleanses that just leave you hungry and exhausted instead of rejuvenated and energized? Well, Prolon is the scientifically proven meal plan solution you've been waiting for. Prolon is a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making the cells believe they're fasting. Researched and developed for decades at the University of Southern California Longevity Institute and backed by leading U.S. medical centers, Prolon helps promote healthy blood sugar, support cardiovascular health, and reduce abdominal fat. But Prolon isn't a diet. Prolon is science. Science based on Nobel Prize-winning discoveries in medicine. And this all starts with Prolon's five-day program, snacks, soups, and beverages, all designed to keep your body in a fasting state. It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. I did it for 5 days because I've had the absolute hardest time with straight fasts for even 24 hours, and it was a game changer for me. So right now, Prolon is offering Keeping It Real Conversations with Jillian Michaels listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Just go to prolonlife.com/Jillian. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian for this special offer. That's prolonlife.com/Jillian. What's the easiest choice you can make? Soup or salad? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From your online start to your first million orders, Shopify's there to help you grow. No matter what your product is, they can help you sell it everywhere.
From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, Shopify can help you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average than other leading commerce platforms. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/Jillian, all lowercase. Just go to shopify.com/Jillian now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/Jillian.
All right, everyone knows by now how much I love Skims underwear because I mentioned them a ton and I've been wearing them forever. I mean, I guess specifically a year and change. That's like forever in my life. I can stick with something for longer than 30 days. It's forever. So this is big for me. And let me tell you, they are worth the hype. From the support they give to their amazing shape. And best of all, they're super comfortable. Whether it's the weightless scoop bra, the fits everybody plunge bra, the fits everybody t-shirt bra. I just get them in sand. You don't see them under anything at all. They're awesome. They're comfortable. I don't even realize I'm wearing them. They go with everything. So shop Skims bras at skims.com now, available in 62 sizes from 38 to 46H. And if you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. So after you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This week's guest is birth doula and host of the Miraculous Mamas podcast, Elizabeth Joy. Welcome to the show.
See, Elizabeth, how are you, buddy? Are you good?
Yes, I'm doing so well. How are you?
Don't so Cindy doesn't get. Yeah, I am. I am. Cindy doesn't get as excited as I feel she could. Elizabeth, how did you feel about that intro?
I mean, I thought it was like an NPR type.
You know? Yeah, okay. And
that's what I was going for.
Because that is actually very Cindy. And now that you mention it, actually, I'm going to be okay with it. Because at first, sometimes I think to myself, I have to let them know she's excited because it's just not coming through.
Oh, what, and when I do sound excited, oh, I get shit for that too.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
you can't just like, you can't just let her. So we've gone back and forth about the intros of our guests. And Cindy doesn't like mine because I ramble too much. Oh, so now I can't just let her can't let her own that and have the great. So then watch what I do to her. I piss all over her and I turn around and I do this. Are you ready, Cindy?
And then I cut it out, but go ahead.
Guys, on the show today, we have Elizabeth Joy, who I recently discovered because I did her incredibly amazing, super successful Miraculous Mamas podcast. Elizabeth is an incredibly successful doula and advocate for women's rights and healthcare. She's an overall badass, and she's on the show today to talk to us about exactly that, women's rights in healthcare, which I don't even know what that means. And when Cindy was like, Elizabeth is going to talk to us about this, I immediately was like, wait a minute, what does that mean? Like, are there rights that I have that I don't know I have? Like, explain.
Yeah, well, first of all, thank you for the hype intro.
Aha!
I don't feel as nervous now.
Passion, homie.
All right. That's one for Jill.
So the women's rights in healthcare, I mean, it goes back so far, and we won't dive into all of it, but the huge thing is lack of education and knowledge. You think about it from a young age. As women, we're very disconnected from our bodies. You're taught that your period is gross. Getting in tune with your body is somehow like sexual, and that we have to have all these other, like, make sure you dress modestly, and there's just so many other things in society put on us. which actually, if you go back in medical history, a lot of things that medical drugs, surgeries, research were performed on men, and studying the male anatomy, not even taking that the female anatomy is so completely different and intricate. Women's ovaries were once thought of like basically the same as testicles and treated the same in these medical conditions. So going like way back, it started, you know, being afraid of the feminine and being afraid to explore it. But how I see it representing now is that women haven't been in touch with their bodies and we're not taught to be. And working as a birth doula, I have these clients and partner with so many people that are so misinformed about their bodies, about their rights in healthcare, and even just the fact that your doctor works for you. You don't work for your doctor. And it's just mind-blowing that for me, I guess, coming from a birth perspective, we plan for our wedding day, right? You plan for your career. You plan if you want to run a marathon or to take that dream vacation. But when it comes to having babies, we just kind of go into it very blindly and trust everything that's given to us. But nobody knows your body like you do. Doctors know bodies, yes, but they don't know your body. You're with your body 24/7, but somehow we're scared to speak up about it when we feel that something's wrong.
You know, this is also a theme I see in so many different areas of life for women. So business, for example, I remember an individual who I respect who's very successful was like, some of the worst mistakes I ever made in my life is I didn't trust my own gut because I thought, well, they're a lawyer. You know, they're going to know better than me, even though my gut says this is a mistake. Or they're the producer of the show. This is a mistake I've made. And they're the producer, even though I know this is a mistake. You know, I don't want to be labeled difficult and they must know more than me. And do you think that's just culturally rooted, this inherent sense of like, don't ruffle feathers, don't question somebody's, quote, expert opinion, or that it's just a physical thing, is that we've been kind of like what you said, don't wear these clothes, getting in touch with your body, sexualized, or do you think it's a combination?
I think it's a combination, 100%, yes. I think, obviously, like, again, getting in touch with your body is like almost this taboo-ish thing, or you have to be this weird, like, hippie, crazy person to do that, where it's like, no, it's really important to know your anatomy, to know, wow, I feel really good when I do this. This thing makes me feel really bad. I can tell when something's off inside of me. We're so disconnected from that. Talking about like questioning people, I think that's a part of our society as well. It's like, oh, well, this, you know, I might have this gut feeling, but I don't trust it. This person must know what they're doing. And then I think by nature, we're just naturally curious people. So we've learned to suppress that as well. So when a doctor is telling us something, or we have a gut feeling, but somebody is going against that, we're afraid of just having conversations and asking questions and remaining curious and being like, okay, like, I understand that you're saying this, but why is it this way? Or, okay, well, I'm feeling this. Talk to me about why you think it should be that. And we should be able to have those same questions with our healthcare providers. And if you bring something up to them or question them, which I'll share a story with you of when I did, and you're met back with like,
say, how did you get into this? That was literally, yep. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
Just met back with either attitude or like, oh, well, this is just whatever. That's not an answer. And that's not a provider working with you for your best interest. And so one of my biggest things with women's right in healthcare is your right to know that you can change providers at any moment. Like, do not feel like you have to stay with the same doctor. You know, when I tell pregnant women all the time, they're 8 months pregnant and you don't like how your OB is treating you, change. Mm. Like, you don't like how they're treating you now, how are they going to treat you in birth? So what had happened to me is a few years ago, I had moved to Chicago and I was very stressed out. I was working two jobs. And then my grandma passed away and I had this crazy period like I had never had before, just clotting and cramping. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm dying. Like something's wrong with me. Because I normally before that would have heavy periods. So I call the doctor, and they give me some signs to look for, and I made an appointment for the next week. And I go in, and nothing's wrong.
Okay.
And they offer me birth control, and I say no.
Oh, that's the go-to, isn't it? Yeah,
right,
I got that when I was young. And sorry, go ahead.
Well, it's this magic pill, right, that takes away every
yes.
symptom that you have.
Endometriosis, birth control. PCOS, birth control.
Right.
It's like, dude, how about figuring out why I have this issue in the first place? But I digress. Now I'm getting pissed.
When this OB a few years ago offered it to me, and I said no, he basically rolled his eyes at me and is like, well, there's nothing I can do for you. Oh. And I'm like, okay, so you're telling me everything's wrong, like everything's fine with my body, but this could make my period lighter, but my body's telling me that something's not right.
Right.
And for me, I didn't want to just take something to make it go away. And I had tried birth control once for like 2 months in my early 20s, and I was a psycho. So I'm like, I'm not getting on this.
It's significant to mess with your hormone balance, and it's constantly downplayed. But I mean, when you look at things like hormone replacement therapy or birth control for extended periods of time, like it's a very significant, serious science that takes unbelievable doctors to figure out who you are, what would work for you, if anything at all, what dose. I mean, to just throw birth control at somebody is so irresponsible. But sorry, go on.
No, yeah. So, I mean, it took me over a year to find somebody who I trusted to work with me on that journey. And I mean, we ended up doing, because I knew something was still off with my body. I felt pretty good. I had been bloated forever. Okay. Like my now husband at the time, boyfriend at the time, husband now, he was like, you complain about being bloated every single day. And I'm like, I know, it's so crazy. And finally I found somebody who did a hormone panel on me and did a food allergy test, and based on my hormone panel, I didn't ever have to take any hormones, but looking at my hormones, he could tell that my kidneys weren't functioning properly. My gut was so inflamed that my excess estrogen could not eliminate itself, which puts me at risk for breast cancer in 10 years.
Yep.
So had gotten on the pill, it would have covered that. I never would have noticed it, and I still could have gotten breast cancer. And so what I had to do was to go through the food allergen thing, get things to promote healthy digestion, get my liver and kidneys working properly so my body could discard the excess estrogen that I was producing. And it was such a relief. It was the first time in probably 3 years I wasn't bloated. And I remember being like, oh my gosh, I'm not bloated anymore. And I ran a half marathon and I felt like myself. And it was the first time in years that I had felt that way, and I was so grateful that I advocated for myself, that I continued to go to doctor after doctor to find somebody who was willing to take me on as a patient. Like, yes. I'm paying you to treat me. Take me on as a patient. But as women, we're taught to question our bodies, and that goes into, if you think about it, then when you're pregnant and your doctor's telling you something and then you're in the delivery room, I can't tell you how many stories I've heard from women now of them even being like, oh my gosh, I need to push. And a nurse looks at them and is like, no, you don't. I checked you a little bit ago. You're fine. And they're like, no, seriously, I need to push. And then they're like, oh my gosh, yeah, you do. And it's like, just listen.
Right. Of course. And you're right. It does require advocating for yourself and fighting for your rights and being comfortable to make a change if you need to make a change. Cindy, I have a question for you, because I feel like you went through something like this, didn't you, when you had cancer?
Yeah, it wasn't that a doctor didn't listen to me, but it was that I, 3 months after my checkup, I was bloated. I felt something when I pushed on it. It wasn't just regular bloat. It didn't feel the same. So I immediately called my doctor. And it was two extremely fast-growing ovarian tumors. Mm-hmm. I had stage 2 ovarian cancer, which would have absolutely been stage 4 within months, I think, because it was
so quick
and growing so fast. And it's listening to, it's what you said, when you know your body, you know what's right and what's not right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Of course. Yeah. And that's exactly, yeah, when you're trusting yourself, paying attention to your body and having that confidence to insist on proper care and a proper say-so and being able to push forward. So like what would be, so if that's your number one right, that you can change providers, you're not stuck yeah. there, you can ask questions, you can constantly change it up if you need to change it up. What do you think would be the second thing? Like what would be, do you have a list of things to be mindful of?
Well, I think that the next thing though is just being educated. So it's so important to know your options, know your, I know that you can change providers, but even knowing the hospital policy, the provider policies, things like that, because some of them may not be able to work outside of a certain scope or perform certain tasks. And some of that's not on the provider. It could be on the hospital or where they're practicing. But education is just huge. And also just knowing that you don't have to take an answer. And so I was recently listening to a podcast about how women, one of the reasons we make less money than men to the dollar is women by nature are agreeable. We are more agreeable people, whereas men are more disagreeable. They're not afraid to be like, nope, or demand what I want or need. And that's in the workplace. Like when a guy will be like, okay, here's your salary. And they're like, okay. And men will be like, no, I deserve more than that. Mm. And it's just this thing in our nature, and we need to learn how to step up and advocate.
We get penalized for it. That's the other part. They're like, oh, she's mm-hmm. so difficult. Yeah. She's such a bitch. Whereas it's like they're you know, they're strong and assertive, and you know, a confident man. You're right. It's really hard. But when it comes to your health, above all things, it can be life or death. Absolutely.
Right.
And is that why you say that having a doula is an absolute necessity, because you need somebody there to help you advocate for yourself, especially when you're vulnerable?
Yes. So that is like one of the things I'm most passionate about, because we actually are in a birthing crisis in the United States, and we've had the number of women who are dying giving birth in America has doubled in the last two decades. What? And it's something that's not talked about.
At all.
And that's the thing that like really frustrates me, like, because we have all these people right now that are like, women's rights, and it's like, yeah, that's great, but what about moms? Like, why are we not talking about these women who are giving life? It's like, before you get pregnant, you have all of the options, right? But once you get pregnant and once you become a mom, we do not take care of you in society. And it's just so frustrating, because the CDC says that 6 out of every 10 births where women have died can be prevented. And that's just such a huge number to see, and it's so daunting, and you see it for a lot of different reasons. But when you have a doula present, it's statistically proven that you have a 25% decrease of risk of a cesarean, 10% decrease in the use of other medications or interventions, 38% decrease in baby's risk of a low 5 Apgar score, 31% decrease in the risk of being dissatisfied with your birth, and having an overall like really good birthing experience. And the World Health Organization has found that anything over 10%, a 10% rate of cesareans does not benefit mothers. And in the United States, our average is 32%.
Wow.
So, and a lot of that is lack of education and knowing how to care for your body, knowing how to prepare. Again, going back to that preparing, you prepare for your career, for your wedding. Like, how are you preparing your body for motherhood? How are you preparing your body for birth? Most people don't take any education courses in that, and it needs to be something that's offered, so that when you're in those positions, you know that you have options. And that's one thing that a doula does, is that we provide informational support. So I'm super passionate about my work doing that.
Right.
And also everymothercounts.org is an awesome resource for anybody listening who wants to learn more information on that, or how to get involved or donate or help women out across the world who are in these communities. So it's, I mean, lack of education is just, I think, the biggest thing, because when you don't feel educated, you don't feel like you have the power to speak.
Yeah, you don't feel empowered, period. You're 100% mm-hmm. right. I mean, I say that when it comes to everything in life and very specifically and most importantly, you're right, when it comes to your health or the health of your child or any other family member is exactly, you know, but with your kids, you have to be able to advocate for them. And yeah, you're right. It's being in touch with your own body and feeling comfortable doing that. It's being strong enough to say this person doesn't work for me and to question who is deemed to be the authority and being educated so you feel empowered. I totally get it now, Elizabeth. I get it passionately. Where can people go to get more? I know that you tell them. Where can they go to get more from you and follow your podcast, your socials, all of the amazing content you put out there?
Yeah, so everything's Miraculous Mamas. So there's miraculousmamas.com, the podcast, also the Instagram or my personal one where I post probably the most is E Sandoz.
And that's E-S-A-N-D-O-Z, guys.
Yes.
And at Miraculous Mamas, I mean, is her Insta as well. Exactly how it sounds, miraculousmamas.com. Go now and listen to the podcast because it's awesome. And I was a guest on there. So it's
very true.
So it's exceptionally good. Elizabeth, thank you. You've been amazing. Really appreciate your time.